Earth, sky.
Nuclear power really faces a very uncertain and troubled future, and I think we can expect, you know, very modest nuclear expansion, if that, over the coming years and decades.
You're listening to Christopher Flavin, president of the World Watch Institute, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. World Watch is an environmental research organization that monitors resources like energy. It released a report in April of 2011 on the status of nuclear power in the wake of the March 2011 disaster at the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan. Flavin spoke more about it with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Now, the World Watch Institute has just released a report on the nuclear industry. Tell us, what are the main findings of that report?
Well, it's interesting that there's been a lot of talk about a nuclear renaissance, and that's been referred to in the wake of the Fukushima nuclear disaster. But in fact, what we find is that the overall capacity to generate electricity of the world's nuclear plants has been really just barely increasing in recent years. And in fact, total output of electricity has even declined slightly over the last few years. So rather than being, you know, this sort of robust, rapidly growing industry, we find that nuclear power was actually facing a pretty uncertain and even somewhat troubled future even before Fukushima, which of course has now, you know, added additional question marks.
So would you give us your thoughts on kind of how nuclear energy is doing today?
Well, to just give a little bit of a historical perspective, there was very rapid growth in the use of nuclear power starting in the 60s, and the 1970s and 1980s were extremely rapid growth decades in the United States and indeed globally. And things really turned around, and interestingly, they turned around about the time of the Three Mile Island and Chernobyl disasters, which respectively occurred in 1979 and 1986. And orders for new nuclear plants began to slow dramatically worldwide. And in the United States, there actually hasn't been an order for a new nuclear plant since Chernobyl, that is, since the late 1970s, which means that there's been more than 30 years since a new plant was ordered. And the idea the nuclear industry has had is to, you know, sort of revive that and get a renaissance going. And while there's been, you know, a lot of interest on the part of companies and even some early work beginning to be done to sort of make way for a new nuclear era, in fact, there's not a single new nuclear plant that's actually under construction at this point. There's only some very early preparatory work in the U.S.
All right. The report says that the average age of nuclear power plants is going on a quarter century or more. What does that mean as far as how that affects the industry?
Well, there has been a very small nuclear renaissance sort of underway in China particularly. China has shown a great interest in building nuclear power plants, and really over half of the new nuclear plants under construction now are actually in China. If you take China aside and you look at the whole rest of the world, you find that there really is very little activity underway, and that there are a range of different factors going on. In some European countries, particularly Germany, there's really been a very explicit political decision not to move forward with nuclear power, but to move forward with renewable energy sources instead. In the United States, it's really been more of an economic decision. The relatively high cost of nuclear power has deterred many electric utilities, including, you know, some that had announced plans several years ago, have now, in effect, set them aside. And seeing the growing cost estimates of nuclear power plants, as well as the fact that relatively inexpensive natural gas-fired power plants are now a viable option in many areas, has really taken the bloom off the nuclear renaissance. And I actually think that the renewable energy sources are more primed to make a major additional contribution right now. You know, of course, nuclear is contributing in effect today by displacing some fossil fuels. But it took us many, many decades to get where we are. And of course, there has not been much expansion in the industry. There's really not even that much industrial capacity to build nuclear plants very quickly over the coming decades. So I think that nuclear power is just not the best option and really not a very significant option when it comes to reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the future. And in effect, by putting more money and effort into nuclear power, we in effect are delaying the transition to renewable energy sources, which are only going to move forward at the scale they need to if they get a much more policy attention and investment than they're currently getting.
Would you like to maybe speak more on this growing role of nuclear in China? This kind of China is the exception, it seems to be, to this rule, or to this to what's happening with the rest of the world, where nuclear power is steady or on the decline.
And China, of course, has a very rapidly growing economy and rapidly growing energy needs, and it's building a lot of new generating capacity of all sorts. It's still adding coal plants, which predominate today, but it's also become a world leader in adding wind power and other renewable energy technologies. When you add that all together, for China, nuclear power actually makes up a relatively small part of the total, but just given the very, very modest scale of nuclear activity around the world. As I mentioned earlier, China really has sort of dominated international orders. Now, I think one of the things that's interesting about that is that China, for the most part, is still basically using other countries' technologies. It's in many cases using newly developed reactor designs that really haven't been proved out anywhere in the world. And they don't really have, a very fully developed safety regulatory apparatus, which, of course, is, one of the things that, in retrospect, has seemed to have gone so wrong in Japan, that there wasn't adequate regulation. So I think China really, given the fact that there has been a very, very strong reaction to what happened very nearby in Japan, there is, at least a possibility of I think, a significant slowdown in that Chinese nuclear industry in the aftermath of Fukushima.
Yeah, would you like to maybe speak more on how that event has impacted the industry looking forward?
What nuclear accidents, starting with Three Mile Island, tend to do is that they tend to raise the cost, because you have to take additional precautions, you have to add to design features that add to safety. All of that tends to cause delays and add to costs. And so that could end up, in fact, being one of the important legacies of Fukushima.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the future of nuclear energy?
Nuclear power really faces a very uncertain and troubled future. Not only are there all of the safety questions and resulting economic questions that are raised by the accident itself, but if you look around the world, the industry was really not moving forward very actively. There's a lot of confusion about what the next generation of technology is likely to be. And I think, therefore, we can expect, very modest nuclear expansion, if that, over the coming years and decades.
You've been listening to Christopher Flavin, president of the World Watch Institute. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earthsky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.